You came to Erie?
Well, I was born in Ohio, Romney Town, Ohio, in 1915 on March the 6th, and went to the first grade of school in Romney Town, Ohio. And at the age of 7, we moved to Whiteford Center, Michigan, and attended grade school there for 2 years, moved to Erie in 1925, and continued on with my school years at St. Joseph's. And
8 years? You went 8 years of school, right? Yeah. And why didn't you go on any further in school?
Well, we didn't have no transportation and couldn't afford to go to high school in Monroe or Toledo.
Oh, that was the closest high school,
yeah.
Was Monroe?
Yeah.
Grandpa, could you tell me a little bit about your childhood? Your father was a farmer, right?
Yes, and we had to help on the farm, pick tomatoes, load them, pick apples, pick berries, haul them to market, and help milk the cows and do the chores.
And on top of that, school?
On top of that, we had school.
Usually how many hours a day?
Well, we would help after school till dark. Some of the chores we had to help for, we went to school.
Yeah, that was a long day.
Yeah.
But you were used to it.
Yeah, when you're brought up on a farm and you're young, you're hardened up good.
And then could you tell me when you were a child, but this is when the Depression was in 1930, so you were 15 years old then. Do you remember about the Depression?
Well, things went pretty good till Depression hit and the markets went bad. Dollars was hard to get. Nobody had any money. So we still was gardening. We hauled tomatoes to Detroit. We paid a nickel a bushel, hadn't picked. We hauled them to Detroit and sold them for 25 cents a bushel. Gas was 12, 13 cents a gallon then. And we'd haul it to the market. And when the Depression hit, we was on the market the next day, and the commission men and the hucksters didn't have no money to pay for their stuff. So the farmers trussed them for a few days till they got back on their feet. If they didn't, the farmer would have to bring his stuff home and dump it, so they just had to take a chance and got them built back up where they could buy and sell again.
Did the Depression affect your father, Greta? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In what way did it affect him?
So my dad, he stayed on farming, and we had 11 of us children in the family, all home. And my mother went to Toledo in the coat factory and got a job as a seamstress. And she used to take eggs to her customers in the shop. She sold them for 10 to 12 cents a dozen. And that helped quite a lot, too, to buy groceries.
And how did the children help out?
Everybody helped out on the farm. The girls took care of the house and did the washing. Mother worked. And we worked in the fields. The summertime by vacation, daylight till dark.
Mm-hmm. Grandpa, could you tell me how you bought your first car? You were 16, right?
Yeah. Well, we didn't have much transportation, so my dad gave us a piece of ground. My brother and I worked it together, and we raised sweet corn, popcorn, tomatoes, and melons. And we had to do that on the side and still help him, so we had a few extra bucks. So one day I seen an ad in a fleet of paper, 1926 Model T Ford for sale for 20 bucks. So my brother, he had his own, so we went down and paid cash and brought it home.
And how much was gas at the time you were telling
me? Gas at that time was very cheap. You could put 2 gallons in for a quarter and go to Toledo and come back and still have a little bit left.
My God, that's cheap. Tell me about the streetcars.
Well, in them days, the streetcars used to run through Erie. They all into Urban from Toledo to Detroit. And some of the children used to ride to Erie to go to school. It was farther away, and they'd get a ride for a nickel each way. But we always walked because we lived about a mile and a half to a mile and three quarters, and we always walk to school because the car wasn't convenient for us to go on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, could you tell me about your first job?
Well, when I was about 18, I went out and got a job driving truck, semi-truck, hauling hay for $12 a week. And I worked down there for over a year or so. And at 20, I got married and I went and rented a farm because I couldn't make enough money on that to get along because we had 2 miles of feed instead of one. And then it wasn't long and we had three. And been the baby.
That's right.
And in those days, farming, we had an old tractor, but we also had horses. And you didn't farm real big like they do nowadays, because a lot of that was all hand labor, making hay and hauling in the barn. It was a very hard job.
Did you do all this work yourself, or did you have hired help?
I helped my dad out, and he helped me. We exchanged help.
Oh, you took care of each other, in other words. Mm-hmm. That's good. And then you started a job with the factory?
Well, then the farm I had was taken away because the war broke out, and the farmer wanted his ground to farm, so I was forced to take employment elsewhere, so I got a job at the bomber plant in Ypsilanti and went to school for riveting and learned that, went to school for a few weeks and started riveting the B-24s.
What's that?
B-24 bombers.
What did you do, riveting?
Riveting.
What's that?
Riveter. You rivet the wings on them and ribs together. And.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And we did all that kind of work. And after I worked there a year or so, it was getting so that it was hard to get tires and you had to have so many riders with you, at least five besides yourself, so they had to advertise them in Monroe for experienced riveters, so I went and got a job there before I quit my other one, and I hired in, and then I went back and told them I was done up there, and they didn't want me to quit. They said I couldn't quit, well, they're going to draft me. They said, well, what's your reason? Well, I said, no transportation. I had to have some excuse to get out of this. So that's the way they wrote me up. Mm-hmm. And I started to work in Monroe. So that's the reason I come back to Monroe, that tires was rationing, gas was rationing, and I saved 2 hours a day on the highway. And it only took me an hour to go to Monroe and back. And I was reclassified, working under defense. And when the war broke out with Japan, I was reclassified in A1 and had to go to Detroit and take an examination. And I had six children then, helped me some. But they examined me, and I passed for A1, and went on for a few months, and they sent me my notice that I would be drafted into the Army and get all the children's birth certificates ready, and mine, and everything in order. And then when war broke out with Japan, they was winning the war, so they went in and bombed Japan, and they took and changed the classifications because Japan surrendered and they didn't need this older men, so they put me back in my old classification.
because you had six kids and because
yeah,
you were
because I
defense.
Had six children and still working in the factory and under defense and helped my dad on the farm and farming a little bit myself on the side to make ends meet.
Grandpa, tell me about your brothers who were in the war.
Well, I had one older brother than me, lived in Indiana, and was married 10 years, and he was drafted into the Army, and he went in and he landed over to Africa, and he was over there a while, and they went over to Italy, and he spent 3 or 4 years over there. Then I had another brother going to school, and he got into draft age and helped my dad on the farm, and And then he got drafted, and I said I'd help my dad out. And the younger brother that was in the Navy, he was on he's landing these ships that unload the big ships and haul the machinery and stuff into the islands.
Grandpa, tell me something about the entertainment.
Well, our entertainment when we were younger fellas, we'd play ball, and we'd go down to Lake Erie, down by Luna Pier, and the water was clean then, and we'd go down there swimming and listen to the music. They had a dance floor out on the water them days. Guy Lombardo come out there and play weekends. And if you was in Erie, you could hear the music when the wind was in the east. You could hear it for 2-3 miles away. And Paul Whiteman, he'd come out and play. And it really was some beautiful music.
Did you do any hunting in those days?
Yes, I used to love to hunt. We'd hunt on the farms, rabbits and ducks, and then we'd go down to the Erie marshes and hunt ducks. We'd trap mush rats, and we always had something extra to eat, which come in pretty handy in them days.
Now, you were telling me about some of the famous people that hunt there.
Oh, I forgot we hunted out there years later in the marshes along Lake Erie. And they had a roller ring down to Luna Pier, Michigan, and the neighbor kids and girls and boys, we'd get in the old Ford and we'd get down there and we'd roller skate at least once or twice a week, Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
Could you tell me a little bit about TV and radio at the time?
Well, my younger days, when the radio first came out, I can remember I was about 7 years old. And my uncle was quite a radio man. He was from Toledo. And he'd bring out a set with the earphones on it, and he'd let us listen to that when they first come out. And that was quite a thing in them days.
And when did TV? How old are you for TV?
Oh, TV. And then when TV come out, it was either in 51 or 52, we bought one of those, and then it was hard to get the kids to do their homework or get any kind of work on them because they was always interested in the TV, and so was Dad and Ma.
Now, the kids helped out a lot with farming, too, didn't
they? Yeah, my children on the farm, they all helped. Everybody did. Everybody worked together because we couldn't do it alone.
What was Grandma's role in farming?
Well, Grandma helped quite a lot. She helped pick up potatoes and great tomatoes and potatoes, and we run some fruit stands on the highway, a couple of them on Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday morning she'd go to Monroe Market, and I'd either go to Detroit with the boys or Toledo on a Saturday, and on a Sunday we'd set up a couple of roadside stands, and we'd put our produce out there, tomatoes and melons and apples and peaches. In the fall we would make sweet cider. And sometimes over the weekend, we'd sell as far as 150 gallons of cider in 2 days.
Now tell me about Farmer's Market. Grandma used to go there a lot.
My wife used to go to Market in Monroe, and on a Saturday, and her and a couple of boys, or one of the girls, and she'd stay there around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And if she didn't sell out, which happened very often, one of the boys, or I'd send for one of the trucks, come up to Detroit Market, and we'd finish selling it up there.
Grandpa, what can you tell me about Prohibition?
Well, I was pretty young when Prohibition went in 1918 after the war was over. They tell me that the boys went over and fought the war. And they come back, they didn't have no more saloons to go in and get their beer. So then they getting these speakeasies all started all over, and gang killing, and things got pretty rough. And if you want to have a beer, you had to go to these Blind Pigs to get it, a shot of whiskey. And then some of the people out in the rural areas like the farmers and stuff, they'd all have their own wine in the basement and hard cider, and they'd congregate on the weekends and they'd play euchre, talk, and other different kind of card games, and had some dancing and things like that. And this probation went on till Roosevelt got in, and well, before that there was a lot of killing going on in Chicago. And,
do you remember any big names?
And well, I can remember when Al Capone and the gang had the massacre in Chicago, and I can remember in Erie when they used to come in with boats from Canada. I seen that when I was a young fella, but my dad always used to tell us, you don't see anything, he said, if you want to live.
Yeah.
That's as rough as it got. They used to light in the fields where we farmed with an airplane, and I can remember that very well when I was a young lad. And there used to be a big orchard over here at Erie with a, had a big driveway up in the middle of it, and they used to drive in there, and the cars would go up, out, and they'd unload it in there. And I could name quite a few homes that they used to store the beer and whiskey in the basements, which some of them is gone when the tornado went through, but it's still back in my memory, them days. And you, if you was pretty well known, you could get a whiskey or a beer if you knew them, but you had to know them to keep everything quiet.
So you saw them load them on the boats? Is that what you saw?
I see them load them up out of the airplane.
Oh, right, out of the airplane.
Out of the airplane, right in the, drive up with these old big old Cadillacs, and then you drive away with that. And there was one merchant from Erie that was hauling across in these old Dodge trucks with curtains on the side, and when it got on the ice, and the cracks would get kind of bad, and they'd use planks, and they'd go across the crack on the planks. And one day the plank slipped, and he lost his truck, beer, whiskey, and all, but they managed to survive. So all they did is went and bought another truck and never left it stopping, doing the hauling the booze.
Okay, Grandpa, let's go from booze to food now.
Well, in them days, we'd milkman used to come around, people that didn't have cows. We had some, but then we got rid of them. And the milkman would come 2-3 days a week. And he always used to like to stop at our house because there were so many of us there. And he'd at least stop and deliver 4 gallons of milk every time he stopped.
Because there were how many kids?
Well, there was 10, 11 of us. And the bread man, he'd come in with a big basket of bread 2-3 times a week or four. And them days they delivered a lot of your stuff right to your store, I mean to your house. And for your store, we'd go to Erie or Toledo, and the merchants would take your order, and they'd have to make everything up while you waited. They'd have to go back, and they didn't have anything cut up ahead in meat, and they'd have to cut the meat up, and for the people that didn't raise their own, and your grocery order, they'd have to go back and pick all your stuff off the shelf. You'd hand them a list. It ain't like it nowadays where you walk in, pick your own. And a lot of the farmers raised their own meat like I did, my own hogs, and we'd butcher once or twice a year. And if you were lucky, you could butcher a steer or two. And that's the way we'd process our meat. I used to salt it down in salt brine and cure it. And we had a smokehouse. We'd smoke the ham and the bacon. And shoulders we'd cut up and fry down and cover that with lard to keep it so it wouldn't spoil. And a lot of the people did it that way to get by because on account of too many of them didn't have too many refrigerators and stuff.
Now tell me what you did before the milkman. Where did you get your milk then?
Ooh, I should have. Before, well, we had a cow or two, and we'd milk the cow twice a day. A lot of times we'd make butter maybe once or twice a week, and you'd have to put salt in it and wash it and work the milk out of it with the cream, and so it would keep.
So really, you didn't have to buy much at the grocery store. What did you buy at the grocery store?
Well, you'd buy like sugar and flour and other things. We always used to bake our own, out of our own cakes and stuff. Once in a while, a little bread. When I was home, my mother used to bake all the bread. And some of the people would call Toledo. Tickies had a route. They'd come out twice a week. Used to, years ago, they'd come out with a horse and a wagon, and then when the automobiles come out, they'd have a fleet of trucks, and you'd call in Toledo and order over the phone, and they'd make their delivery maybe to Erie once or twice a week, and you'd pay for it when they delivered. Some of these people didn't have no transportation, and they could buy a little cheaper that way than they could at the town stores.
Tell me about Tickie's stores.
Well, about one thing about Tickie's stores, it was a one operation. You'd go there and you could buy everything from what you wanted to eat to what you wanted to wear. And they had good clothing, they had furniture, radios, and they had good smoked meat, fish, and they'd have sometimes buffalo meat, and sometimes they'd have sturgeon they used to catch out in Lake Erie, which was very hard to get. But it was a one-store operation. You could go in there, and you wouldn't have to go park in the back, and they would take your stuff on a cart across there to your car. When you got ready, you'd pick it up when you left. And it really was a good place to shop.
Tell me about the local law enforcement at the time.
Well, a few years back, we had constables in Erie, which I was elected four different times in terms of 4 years apiece. And we'd have liquor inspection once a month. We had there was four of us. Two of us have to go to each tavern. We have to go around, inspect them, and see that everything was sanitary and clean and neat. And we did that once a month. Well, then we had the state police come out and had their post in the area a few years back. You had the Monroe County deputies got larger and bigger. And then the township police kind of faded out and taken over by the local officials from Monroe and state police.
Tell me about some of the minority groups in Erie.
Well, years ago, they used to raise a lot of tomatoes around here and sugar beets. And the minority group would come in, like the Mexicans and the Negroes, and help harvest the tomatoes and sugar beets. And they'd have farmers have set up camps for them or live in some of their own buildings. And then we had the railroad. Used to have the section gangs, they'd call them, that did all the handwork on the railroads. They'd have a siding, and they'd come in with their trains with the converted over to sleeping quarters and places to cook and eat. And they would do their work, repair their tracks for so many miles each way. When that was done, they would move on down to another section, and they'd put them on a siding, and they'd take care of that. And on Friday nights, Saturdays, they used to get their pay. Well, they'd go up to Erie, and some of them behave and some wouldn't. Some come back pretty well in the wind. And some of them never knew how they got back till next Monday when they come to go to work. Some of them wouldn't show up. They'd have to go to Monroe, get them out of the cooler, so they could go to work on the job. Then they had what they call a Mexican camp on the siding down on Vienna Road, and they had housing in there, and they would work for different farmers harvesting, and that's where they'd made their living there. And once in a while they'd raise a little hell, but it would all blow over. But we were sure glad to see them go in the fall.
Well, What were their living quarters like?
They were small houses. You ain't got an on now, have you? So, they were small housing, and the women, for their washing, they used to have big kettles, and they would boil their clothes. They were very clean, and take care of the children. It was too small to go in the field. Most of some of the whole families would move out into the field and work all day, and some of the women stay home and cook, and they'd have their regular outhouses out in the field, where they had a place where they could go if they had to. And in those days, a lot of the people wasn't minority. They didn't even have any running water, electricity, and they lived on the mud roads. And it wasn't until 1925 that they finished the telegraph road through Erie. And then a couple years later, they started to stone some of the side roads, like Souter Avenue and Vienna Road. And another year later, they got Erie Road, then they got Rauk Road, Kelly Road, and so on and so forth, so they got them all. And some of the roads was still bad, but there isn't very many in Erie that's not stone. Maybe one or two that's mud yet, like a Benora Road, a short road from Dixie to Souter Avenue. And things have really changed now. Is advancement to get around. You got your expressways, freeways, and we have electricity on all the roads in the county now. And a lot of them's got gas, natural gas, and some has got sewers. In some of the districts, outlying districts, is waiting for water and gas to come through. But things has changed pretty fast in the last few years. And pretty much all the people now have their own transportation. Some's got one car, two and three, maybe a pickup. But we don't have very good bus system out in the counties now. They don't even stop in Erie anymore. And there's very few you can get to go into Monroe at midnight.
Well, Grandpa, how are you enjoying your golden years now?
Well, I'm retired now. I'll be 67 March the 6th, and I really enjoy it. Your grandmother and I, we got a nice home. Everything is paid for. We don't owe nobody nothing. We get pretty good Social Security check and a little pension check. And I do a little farming on the side, not much, but you're only allowed to make $5,500. I bought clear of that, and that gives a little extra spending money. And we would like maybe to go to Florida next winter, and because we don't want to spend another winter in Erie like this. This has been one of the worst winters we had in the history of I have known since I lived in here. For a little recreation now, I love to hunt. 2 years ago, I got a nice 200-pound buck, 12 point, up on the other side of Adrian, Michigan, Onstead territory up there. And we go ice fishing, and we've been doing pretty good. In the summertime, I go out wild-eyed fishing and perch. My brother and Talita's got a boat, and him and I go out together. And he's retired now this Christmas, and we expect to spend more time out there on the Great Lakes. And this fall I went deer hunting and didn't have any luck. But a lot of times you can hunt for 8-10 years and maybe never get a shot at a buck. And if you get one, you just consider yourself lucky. You've been in the right place at the right time.
What event in history most affected your life?
When President Kennedy got assassinated. I was sitting in the house in the Davenport when it flashed over the television. I was so shocked that I couldn't hardly speak. Because I thought he was one of the greatest presidents we had. We were getting ready to go up north hunting, and we finally left and went, and we got up there, that's all they talked about, and there was no excitement, and everything was just all in shock, and it was one of the worst falls I ever spent up there, and they shut everything down the day he was buried, and we didn't stay too long, and a lot of the people up there packed up, was up there the first week, packed all their belongings up, and come back home. And we stayed a few days, and